The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Chicago Bears fans, we are in the middle of the 2019 NFL draft. You know, day two is in the books. Rounds one, two, and three are also in the books, and the Chicago Bears have made a pick. It's Iowa State running back David Montgomery. But before I get into that pick, I need to take care of some business first. So, welcome to my podcast. This is T Formation Conversation. My name is Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. I'm the editor-in-chief at SB Nation's Windy City Gridiron. And this show right here is part of the Windy City Gridiron podcast channel, along with Robert Schmitz, Bear With Me, and Bears Over Beers with our resident fantasy football expert, Jeff Berkus, and our lead draft analyst, EJ Snyder. You know, but EJ is not our only draft guru on staff. So just like a few days ago when he helped get us prepared for the Bears draft, he's back joining me again tonight to break down the Bears' third rounder. So, Jacob Infante, welcome back, my friend.
Thanks for having me on again. Looking forward to digging into this new draft pick.
I assume you're enjoying the draft so far.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm enjoying it more now that the Bears are actually picking.
Yeah, I've
been having a good time either way.
You know, it's like the buzz was kind of there, but it wasn't there. It was like so weird as Bears fans because we had nothing to do for the whole first day of the draft.
Yeah, exactly. I barely remember what it was like during the Cutler trade when they didn't have first-round picks in 2009 and 10, I believe.
Yeah.
So, I think 9 and 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, this is a bit new to me, but it was interesting being able to take an outsider's perspective and see what other teams do without having to get fully emotionally invested in the first round.
Exactly. So before we get into the Bears draft pick, I gotta apologize because I completely spaced last time out. I never plugged you on Twitter, so everyone make sure you're following Jacob at JacobInfante24. And do you have anything else you want to plug, like an Instagram or a MySpace or anything like that?
I do have. I mean, I don't have a MySpace. Surprisingly,
okay, just checking.
Yeah, I don't. Nothing really to play. All right.
Okay, so the newest Bear, like I said, is Iowa State running back David Montgomery, and in typical Ryan Pace fashion, he moved up to get his guy. He was aggressive. He had the guy he wanted. He talked about it at the post draft presser that he had him high on his board, so he had to make his move. So I looked at your big board, and he was actually your number two running back, and he was number 30 on your big board. So you obviously like this pick.
Yeah, I was definitely a big fan of the pick. I personally thought that Pace would wait around to get a running back because there's still a lot of good guys on the board, a lot of guys who I thought, you know, could be options in the fourth round. But I do think that David Montgomery was very good value in the middle of the third round. I think he fits the offense really well. And even though I'm not super crazy about giving up a future fourth round pick to move up, I do think that it was out of all the running backs that were available, he was definitely the best one. And I like the pick.
Yeah.
Not super high on the trade, but I definitely like the pick.
So the comp that a lot of the guys that do comps are is Kareem Hunt. Is that kind of what you saw when you watched this game?
Yeah, I definitely saw a lot of that. You know, comparing the two skill sets. Neither of them are burners in space, but they're more quick than fast. You know, they're good athletes, like laterally and changing direction, stuff like that. Don't have the best breakaway speed, but you know, they're quick enough. Good contact balance. They're powerful runners. Good receivers out of the backfield.
Yeah.
And I don't honestly don't remember too much about Hunt's pass blocking ability, but I do like what Montgomery offers there. So I think, you know, both of those guys are like three down backs that have a lot of value on the ground and through the air. So I definitely think that Kareem Hunt, from an on-field perspective, is a really good comparison for Montgomery.
You know, so I'll be honest, I didn't watch a lot of tape on him because I figured he'd be gone like in the bottom first or in the top of the second. But you watched a lot of his tape, and I know you just kind of talked about some of his strengths, but just kind of one more time, kind of run down, you know, what are his top strengths that he's going to bring to this Bears team this year?
Yeah, well, Montgomery brings a really well-rounded skill set to this offense. He's an intelligent runner. He can identify holes very well. He can exploit defenses and decide, you know, hey, I'm going to bounce outside of the tackles here if nothing's working up the middle. And, you know, I think that intelligence is definitely apparent on tape. Like I said, he's not a stellar athlete in terms of space, like breakaway speed, but I do like what he offers from an elusiveness standpoint. I think he's got more than enough lateral quickness to juke out defenders and make some guys miss. It's also valuable in zone blocking when you have to make those reads and then quick cuts. I think that's definitely going to make him a good fit in Chicago's offense. He's a powerful runner too. You know, plays with a low center of gravity, good pad level, and he's able to run through arm tackles pretty well. I noticed that a lot, and part of that may have to do with going up against Big 12 defenses, but I think, I think he's got the frame and the power to, you know, at least do something similar to that in the NFL.
Well, he's 5'10", I think he's 222, and then I think according to Pro Football Focus, who you know, they get a lot of our guys give him a hard time, obviously because of their grades. But the other stuff they do as far as the stat tracking is really valuable stuff. And they had him down for I think the most broken tackles the last 2 years. And that's something that Ryan Pace mentioned at the post draft press conference. He mentioned his ability to break tackles and keep his balance. Is that what you saw as well?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There are a couple of times on tape I remember watching Montgomery come in contact with defenders and then run through them and find his balance and pick himself up while he's stumbling. So I definitely think that he's got, you know, great contact balance. He's able to run through defenders as well as make a miss.
Because he was a 4.6 guy at the combine when he was 40. And again, the 40 is nice, but it's not the be-all, end-all thing when you look at for a running back. But, you know, like I said, I didn't watch a lot of his film, but the stuff I did see on him, you know, he seemed to get to his top speed pretty quick.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And the 4.6 40 time has kind of created a false narrative that he's not a good athlete. Like I said, he's not going to be prime Chris Johnson at all. But he is a solid athlete, and he has the athleticism to, you know, outrun and, you know, whether it be laterally or, you know, straightforward defensive backs in the NFL. And I do agree that he hits top speed pretty quickly. I like what he offers, you know, an acceleration once he finds that open hole and exploits it. So he's not a bad athlete. You might hear, Bears fans might hear that a couple times from people who don't really know what they're talking about. but Montgomery is a solid athlete, and he doesn't rely purely on speed in his game.
All right, so he has to have some weaknesses in his game. When you watch this film, what were those weaknesses you saw?
Well, I would say that there aren't a ton of glaring weaknesses. He's a very well-rounded back who does a decent amount of things pretty well. Upper body strength, I think, can improve. He's got a strong lower body, like I mentioned, but I think in terms of like stiff arms and stuff like that, I think he could be a little bit better. And then, like I mentioned, just the breakaway speed is probably the biggest one. It's average. It's not bad. It's not good. It's average. And I think that kind of limits his upside a little bit, so I don't think he's ever going to be a truly elite running back, but I think he's going to be a very good running back. I can see 1,000-yard seasons in his future.
Okay, so here are the actual trade details. The Bears sent New England their third-round pick, which was 87th overall, their fifth-rounder, which is 162 overall, and a fourth rounder in the 2020 draft, and you mentioned you weren't happy on that, but the return that the Bears got was, of course, the 73rd overall pick, which they took Montgomery with. Plus, they got a sixth rounder this year, which is 205 overall. Do you like the actual dynamics of the trade? Besides the 2020, obviously.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the 2020 fourth round pick, although the more that I think about it, it kind of helps out because the Bears are expected to get, I believe, a fourth round pick, a comp pick.
Comp, yeah.
From losing Adrian Amos to Green Bay. So that kind of, you know, takes a little bit of that. Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not the end of the world, I don't think. I mean, it's giving up a decent pick that you could probably find a contributor for, but you know, if you've got that guy that you have in mind, then you need to do whatever it takes to get him. You can't be conservative if there's a clear-cut guy that you know you want to get.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I mean, it's pretty standard, though. I mean, if you're going to trade up in the draft, you know, most teams are going to want something, you know, the next year as well. And I know when they traded for Anthony Miller a year ago, they had to give up their two to get back in the two. So I think by them not having to give up a three next year, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Admittedly, there also wasn't as big of a jump.
Yeah.
But I do agree that not having to give up a third rounder is definitely, you know, big for them.
All right. For those wondering, here are the actual values behind the picks that were traded. These are coming courtesy of our resident professor at WCG, Josh Sonnenbruch. When using the old school Jimmy Johnson draft charts, the Bears got a discount. Actually got a discount on the trade. They came in at 235.4 to 216.6. So the Bears got the edge there on that trade chart. But then according to the new school, the Rich Hill draft chart, the trade was just pretty much a wash, which is, it's okay. 69 points from New England to 68 from Chicago. So when you look at it from the draft value chart that everyone uses nowadays, it's a good deal for the Bears.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with that. The Bears, Patriots ended up getting Damian Harris with the pick that the Bears gave to them.
Yes,
which I think is also a good pick. I think Harris can be a starter, but I definitely like Montgomery more. So I think that having a guy, especially because Montgomery's better on passing downs, I think that's a big thing, a separation between the two.
Well, I think I think Harris fits New England style a little better because New England likes having a big mixture of backs because they're really, really, really versatile. I mean, they have their guys they're going to throw the ball to with White, you know. So with Harris, he kind of fits that LeGarrette Blount role they had back in the day.
Yeah, exactly. New England's done a really good job of having a crap ton of running backs on their roster and using them all really well.
Yeah.
And I think Harris is definitely going to be no exception. He's not going to be their receiving back. They already have that in James White, but there's, you know, a clear, you know, goal line short yardage role on that offense for him, and I think he's going to do well.
And I was surprised he lasts so long. I mean, a lot of these backs I thought were going to go earlier, but I don't know if that's just the nature of the position nowadays or what, but let's talk about how Montgomery's going to fit in with the 2019 Bears. Do you think he's a week one starter?
I don't know about week one. Just because the Bears don't always start rookies.
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously, Roquan Smith was a different situation because he didn't have, you know, training camp to get involved in that. But, you know, like, I believe, you know, Leonard Floyd didn't see significant playing time right away, if my memory serves me correctly. And, obviously, Trubisky didn't start right away.
Yeah.
I do think Montgomery is going to have a decent role early on in the season. But I think eventually he's going to ease his way into the starting lineup, kind of like Jordan Howard did back in his rookie year.
Yeah.
Don't know if he gets 1,000 yards in his rookie year, but I can definitely see somewhere in the 800, 900 mark.
Well, you know, with Montgomery, with Mike Davis, and with Tariq Cohen, you know, Jack Silverstein, one of our colleagues, he already coined the phrase as run DMC for these three guys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I just noticed that.
Built-in nickname already. It's let's go. Let's start the season right now with that nickname.
That is good. I like that.
All right. So we mentioned Mike Davis, mentioned Cohen, and we also got to talk about Cordarrelle Patterson. So the Bears have a, you know, not only a three-headed monster at tailback, they're going to have four guys that are going to get significant playing time.
Yeah, and I don't know necessarily if I'd call it a four-headed monster. I'd call it like a three-and-a-half-headed monster. Because, you know, Patterson's taken, you know, snaps of both running back and receiver, and I think he'll do that with the Bears. I mean, obviously, I'd say right now, the bigger, like, the Bears need him more as a backup receiver than they do as a fourth-string running back.
Yeah.
But I do think that they'll put him in the I do think they'll put him in the backfield sometimes. Could see them using him on jet sweeps and end-arounds and stuff of that nature. But I don't know. I don't see him taking significant snaps out of the backfield, but I think there could be a role like one or two times a game, you know, just hand it off to him.
Well, if the Bears can use him in like a like a role kind of like Taquan Mizell from a year ago, he was in the field for a few snaps a game at tailback. But so if he gets those snaps, plus he gets a few of the snaps, like you mentioned, doing the jet sweeps and ends around, you know, so if he has the opportunity to touch the ball, you know, three, four times a game, that's really all you want from on offense.
Yeah, I'd definitely be all right with Patterson having a Mizell type of role, especially because Patterson's actually good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I definitely think there's a role for him on this offense. I don't know how big it's going to be, but I definitely think he's going to get some touches.
Awesome. So I know you're actually right now actually working on your best player available for Saturday. So while I got you here on the call, let's talk about a couple guys you'd like to see the Bears get on Saturday.
All right. And I'm going to mention some of these guys in my article, but the main guy that stands out to me right now is Julian Love from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I watched him. I had a first-round grade on him. So the fact that he's still available is surprising to me, especially because I didn't see any glaring weaknesses in his game. You know, he's a good athlete. He's smart. He's got good ball skills. Could improve a little bit as a tackler, but he's not bad there by any means. I don't really know what it is. I don't know what's holding him back, if there's some sort of off-the-field or injury concern that there is that I don't know about. But I think, as of now, he's definitely the best player on the board. And I don't think he'll be available for the Bears, but if he is, then that would definitely be a slam dunk pick.
So the Bears are picking, yeah, they're pretty deep. They're 24th in the next round, so the odds of him getting there, you know, it might happen.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. Crazier things have happened. There are a lot of talented defensive backs still available, and I don't know what NFL teams think of each of them. But odds are the Bears are going to get some really good defensive backs available when they pick.
You mentioned defensive back. There's a few safeties on the board still, right?
Oh, yeah. Two guys in particular that I mentioned is Amani Hooker from Iowa and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson from Florida.
Yeah.
I've been really high on Hooker this entire draft process. I have a early second-round grade on him, I believe. Without checking off the top of my head, he's the second highest player on my board who's still available, and he was actually my top choice for the Bears to pick in the third
round. Yes, he was.
So the fact that he's still available in the fourth round is surprising to me also, because I think he's got the best instincts of any safety in this class. He's a good tackler, good in coverage. He's well-rounded. And with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I don't think he's as good in run support, but he's definitely more athletic, I think, than Hooker is.
Yeah.
I think he's got a high ceiling. He's also instinctive, good in coverage. I think Hooker might be a better fit for what they need, and I could see him more likely to be there just because he's not as explosive as Gardner-Johnson is. But honestly, you couldn't go wrong with either one of them. I think they'd be fantastic values in the fourth round.
Well, I know we talked about a couple days ago, we talked about with the third round pick going DB or edge and getting a tailback later. But of course, with Montgomery, he was sitting there. He was so high on Pace's board, he had to make a move. So let me ask you a question about an edge rusher here. What are your thoughts on Alabama's Christian Miller if he's still there for the Bears in the next round?
Yeah, if Christian Miller's still available, that would definitely be a really good pick. I'm not sold that Leonard Floyd's going to be brought back when his contract expires. And Aaron Lynch did good last year, but he's on a one-year deal, so I don't know if they plan on keeping him around in the long term. So either way, they're going to need some depth at the edge rusher position. And I like the versatility that Miller brings. He's a really good athlete. He's got some value in coverage. He's, you know, explosive off the snap, good bend. kind of similar to Floyd in some senses, although I think Oregon's Justin Hollins.
Yeah, he's still available too.
Yeah, he's still available. He's someone I think is more like Floyd than Miller is even. So getting someone with that type of skill set, I think definitely complements Mac really well, who's, you know, definitely a great athlete in his own right, but much more powerful than, you know, Floyd is.
It's funny how the draft, every year people say, oh, this guy will never last, this guy's going to go away early, and every year something happens, and there's always talent all over the board, and I think the Ryan Pace, his scouts are going to get some gems here on day three.
Yeah, and I'm honestly surprised that there are so many talented players still on the board entering day three. I mean, I don't know how many of them are going to be available by the time the Bears pick, but judging by, you know, just off of the fact, I forgot Justin Hollins was still available.
Yeah. And
for a split second there, I forgot Christian Miller was still available.
Yeah.
So it's not just defensive backs. You know, a handful of really good defensive players and also some receivers, too, that are still available. A lot of really good guys still on the board.
You think the Bears will go receiver if one of the guys that are high on the board is sitting there?
I mean, I could see it. I could definitely see them drafting a receiver at some point.
More weapons, you know?
Yeah. I just don't know if it's going to be in the fourth round. I mean, I really like Hakeem Butler, and I'm surprised he's still available.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, he doesn't really fit what the Bears need right now, but all I know is that some team's going to be really lucky to take a chance on him on day three.
Cool. You know, I think that's our time. I know I have to get going. I have to get you back to the articles. You can get it up and running as soon as possible here. So yeah. I want to tell you I really appreciate the time again.
Thank you. I enjoyed coming on again, and thanks for having me on.
All right, so guys, make sure you follow Jacob on Twitter. He is at JacobInfante24. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at WiltFongJR, and then you can follow the entire Windy City Gridiron crew by following us all at WSC Gridiron. So that's a wrap, guys. Thanks for listening to T-Formation Conversation. So until next time, bear down, my friends.